go and make beautiful things for themselves and their families. Oh, so, entrepreneur, you can't do that.
No.
You have to stay home and have babies, is basically what he says. And she thinks to herself, Mr. Izzy should be minding his own business. So I hope you think that's an optimistic
thing. That sounds like
that
a very...
I make them into early feminists.
Sounds like a very optimistic
my mother
ending.
Stayed home. My mother stayed home until my youngest brother graduated from high school.
Well, it sounds like
they
a very optimistic ending. The book is called The Secret Buttons, and who is the publisher?
It's Visual Language Books, my own company.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's very different and something inspirational for young people to get into. The book is called Secret Buttons, and our guest has been its author, Ellen M. Shapiro. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This has been delightful speaking with you.
Much success to you. Thank you. She wants a young American. Young American. Young American. She wants a young American. All right. Well, she wants a young American. If you enjoyed that discussion, don't miss a single show. Subscribe. It's all free. So subscribe. It's on Apple, Spotify, Substack, Progressive Radio Network, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, the website, KeepingDemocracyAlive.com. Thanks very much.
You're tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Development and Events Committee meeting will be held on Monday, February 9th at 5 p.m. The meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Cheryl Beversdorf, producer and host of Aging Matters, a program produced in Arlington, Virginia, and featuring timely aging topics for older adults and their families. Today on Sprouts, we learn that older adults are at increased risk for many vaccine-preventable diseases. Public health experts advise the best way to prevent these conditions is to get the appropriate immunizations.
Today, my guest is Dr. Michelle Fiskus, Chief Medical Officer of the Association of Immunization Managers. Dr. Fiskus will provide an update on COVID-19 vaccines and what we need to know about living with COVID-19. And she'll also talk about getting an annual flu shot and the RSV vaccine. And finally, she'll mention other vaccines older adults need to have to avoid health complications and stay healthy as they age. So welcome, Dr. Fiskus, and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Cheryl. I'm excited to be here.
Well, obviously, you heard me say that it's important to get vaccinations, but why is it important, especially for adults over age 65?
Vaccines are the best tool that we have to be able to prevent some of the diseases that really cause a lot of health issues and to prevent serious outcomes to those diseases, decreasing the chance of hospitalization or of bad outcomes like death, and to make sure that we can all stay as healthy as we can. When we see people start to get a little bit lax about getting vaccinated and keeping up with the vaccines that they need is when we start to see more disease in communities, and that puts all of us at risk, and especially people who are over the age of 65 who have a harder time fighting off some of the big bad viruses that we see, like influenza and COVID. So they are really important to keep up to date, keep yourself healthy.
And to your point about adults over 65, not only those who are aging in place at home. But what about those living in assisted living or the residential care or some other type of community like this?
I really worry about people who are living in congregate settings like that. My own mom, who is 86, is living in a large senior residential facility, and she's in independent living, but they're dining together, they're playing cards together, they're passing cards around the table, and it's easy for viruses and other serious diseases to come into communities like that and then spread like wildfires. Where we see big outbreaks of influenza is sometimes in nursing homes and other skilled facilities where the death toll can be quite high because people are already compromised or maybe not in the best of health. And then they have visitors coming in and out who may be bringing those viruses, and even the staff members might not be vaccinated and may be bringing in influenza or COVID or other illnesses that can put those folks at risk. And it is sometimes hard to get them vaccinated because there's wonky rule around, you know, what you can do in a skilled nursing facility versus what you can do in assisted living, which is really not healthcare. And so sometimes there needs to be a pharmacist that comes into a building like that, or there has to be some kind of an arrangement to get people who are in assisted living or who are in even independent living but maybe don't have transportation to a place where they can get their vaccine. It's harder than it should be. You know, I wish everybody could just get a vaccine no matter where they are, but because of the way Medicare is set up, with some vaccines covered if you go to your doctor, but other vaccines covered if you go to a pharmacist, and then just whether or not there's actual healthcare providers where you're living or whether you have transportation to get to one of those healthcare providers can just make it too much of a barrier sometimes to overcome. And people really need to be intentional about making sure that they get their vaccine so that they're not leaving themselves at risk.
Another issue is the whole idea of whether vaccines are safe. So please address that and also talk about possible side effects.
Well, there isn't a single medication that we take, from ibuprofen to acetaminophen, that is completely 100% safe. You can always find a case study somewhere of someone who had something happen as a result of taking a medication. And the same is true for vaccines. They are not 100% safe all the time. What they are is way safer than leaving yourself exposed to getting infected with the disease that they're meant to prevent. So, for example, a COVID vaccine. We know that we have used that vaccine now in literally billions of people around the world. It has been the most heavily monitored vaccine in the history of vaccines for safety. And we know that getting a COVID vaccine is safer than leaving yourself exposed to getting COVID disease. And even if you are exposed to the virus that causes COVID-19 and you get sick, you're much, much likely to be hospitalized or become seriously or critically ill or even die from COVID-19 if you've been vaccinated. And they are really the best tools that we have to prevent any kind of really serious outcome like that. But yes, occasionally there is a lightning strike. I'm literally talking like one in a million or even less frequent than that, where there is a bad outcome from getting a vaccine. Overall, your chances are much, much, much higher of having a bad outcome from getting the disease itself.
Thank you for bringing up COVID. There has been so much that we've heard about over the years. As time has gone on, are there fewer side effects? Is there still a process going on in terms of trying to make COVID vaccine safer? Give us an update of what's happening with COVID vaccine now.
We have seen over time that some of the things that were a concern a few years ago, for example, a rare chance of something called myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart that was happening very rarely in young men in particular, especially with their first COVID mRNA vaccine. What we've seen over the last few years is that signal has pretty much completely disappeared. We're no longer seeing that side effect from the vaccines at any greater rate than we're seeing it for people who get the actual disease. As a matter of fact, you're much more likely to end up with myocarditis from getting COVID disease than you are by getting a vaccine. There is constantly work going on to try to make a universal COVID vaccine, to try to make one that lasts longer, works better, has fewer side effects. Now, recently, federal funding for some of those efforts has been taken away, and so that makes doing that kind of research more difficult. But there are still efforts ongoing to make those vaccines better. We are always trying to make vaccines better.
Help us understand a little bit more about the COVID vaccine as it is now. Is there still a problem in terms of where older adults can get the vaccine? Are there new resources? And how can they find that out? And the cost in terms of whether Medicare will cover it or other insurance. So what do we need to know if we are ready to go out and get that COVID vaccine right now?
Navigating the U.S. healthcare system has never been easy. So it's completely understandable if there might be some worries about whether or not your COVID vaccine is going to be covered by your insurance. So let me reassure you that in the United States, as it stands right now, if you have commercial insurance, if you have Medicaid, or if you have Medicare, you could be able to get a COVID vaccine at no cost to you. Now, sometimes it depends where you go to get the vaccine. Not every doctor's office is going to have COVID-19 vaccines. You might have to go to a pharmacy. And not every pharmacy is able to take Medicaid as a payment. So you may have to kind of nose around a little bit and make sure that you know what is available in your particular community and where people should go to get their vaccine. But you should be able to find it either at your local chain pharmacy or grocery store. Check with your doctor's office. If you can't find it anywhere, check your local health department. They might be able to, if not administer it to you, at least tell you where you might be able to find it. And then sometimes there's the clinics that pop up around. So also just check the newspaper or check online and see if there's COVID vaccination clinics happening in your particular community. You could also call your local health department to see if they're doing any of those. The people who have the hardest time getting vaccinated are people who have no insurance at all. But they should also be able to call their local health department and get a vaccine through them in most cases. If you had to pay out of pocket for the vaccine, you're probably going to hear something between $120 and $250, depending on where you go. So it's important that, say, if you're at a pharmacy and they tell you, oh, we can give you a COVID vaccine, but it's going to cost you $250, and you have Medicare, you need to call Medicare and find out where you can go to get a vaccine at no cost to you, because that particular pharmacy isn't taking care of Medicare patients and isn't giving the vaccine for free. So it should be available. Unfortunately, it may take a little bit to figure out where exactly you can get it. The larger chains like CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, they're going to have COVID vaccines. It's really a matter of making sure that they're going to take Medicare or Medicaid or whatever insurance you have. So that might be a reason to call the number on the back of your insurance card and ask them where you're supposed to go to get a COVID vaccine, because your insurance company also wants you to get vaccinated. It benefits them to not have you sick or hospitalized from something like COVID-19. So they should be able to help you. And again, your local health department is always a good resource. Or you may be able to call a local center for aging or a local retirement center that also might be able to give you some information.
Yes, and including perhaps the Area Agency on Aging, which are located in all of the counties. And I just wanted to make sure now about how long the protection lasts for a COVID vaccine. And I'm thinking listeners might think, how often should I get this? So talk about that first. Let's just find out when people should be getting the COVID vaccine.
Well, there is a new vaccine out now that came out around the beginning of September. So if you have not had a COVID vaccine since about September 1st, you need a COVID vaccine now for the next year. And last year, what they did was align the release of the COVID vaccines with flu season as well, so that people could get their flu shot and their COVID shot at the same time. So hopefully if you've gone in and gotten your flu shot, you can get your COVID shot at the same time. there needs to be about a month based if you got last year's COVID vaccine, which would have been probably before September. So at this point, if you haven't had a COVID vaccine since, I would say, September 1, you need a COVID vaccine. As far as how long the immunity lasts, probably something like 4, 5, 6 months. We're not exactly sure still. But, you know, we also have built up some protective immunity because we have had multiple COVID vaccines by this point. The vast majority of us have been infected with the virus at some point, if not more than once. And that also contributes to immunity. So we know that the combination of our natural immunity from having been sick plus getting a new COVID vaccine is the thing that protects us the best. So don't rest on the fact that you've had COVID before or the fact that you've had a COVID vaccine in the past. It's really important to get the updated one this year. This virus has changed. We don't want to be using last year's vaccine to try to fight this year's virus. We need this year's vaccine to fight the most recent iteration of this virus.
And perhaps our listeners are saying, well, gee, I just recently had COVID. When should that person get the vaccine? Do we need to wait until we test negative?
Well, you absolutely don't need to test to get a vaccine. If you feel well, go get a vaccine. You're due for one. If you recently had COVID, the CDC still says we can wait up to about 3 months. Probably don't want to wait any longer than that after your most recent COVID infection to get vaccinated.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Cheryl Beberstorff, producer and host of Aging Matters in Arlington, Virginia. And today we're talking about COVID-19 vaccines, annual flu shot, and other immunizations older adults need to avoid health complications and stay healthy as they age.
I think the other factor that people still are a little uncertain about is Paxlovid. What can you tell us about Paxlovid? Should we get it? Because we've heard about side effects related to Paxlovid. What do we need to know there?
If you're in a high risk group for complications from COVID, so that's people over 65, people who are obese, have heart disease, lung disease, cancer, on chemotherapy, any kind of immunosuppressant, diabetes, you know, on and on. Basically, if you are not a completely 100% healthy person under the age of 65 and you get COVID, you need to start taking Paxlovid right away. It is too late to wait and see how you're doing and then start Paxlovid. You really need to start it right away. So as soon as you know you have COVID, if you are in a high-risk group, you want to call your doctor or call your pharmacist, because in some places, pharmacies can still actually just dispense Paxlovid for you and let them know, you know, I tested positive, or I know I was exposed to someone and now I'm sick, and get Paxlovid started. It's twice a day for 5 days. There are some side effects. The biggest one is it puts a really yucky taste in your mouth, kind of this metallic taste. Some people get a little stomach upset with it. The majority of folks who take Paxlovid are going to have, you know, some kind of annoying symptom like that, but it gets you better so much faster. And usually within a couple of days of taking Paxlovid, you feel a ton better. And that's because that medicine stops the virus from reproducing in you and making more and more and more virus particles to make you sicker and sicker. It stops that from happening. And then you want to complete that course so that it doesn't come back on you, which is called rebound. But make sure you take that medication and get it done.
One other aspect of this whole COVID situation has been the COVID at-home tests. And of course, keeping them up to date. If you've got something, and of course you haven't had COVID maybe for a year or so, and you look, the use by date has expired. Should we get some new home testing kits?
Well, I think it is a good idea to have kits that are within the expiration date at home, just to make sure that you've got the best possible test. But let's say you feel sick, you go to your cabinet and you've got one that expired last year. Go ahead and use it. If it's positive, it's probably positive. If it's negative, you might think, I don't know if my test was good or not. So then have someone go out and get you a box or have one delivered to you. Take another test the next day. and see if you've got your two negatives in a row. Call your doctor, get some packed with it. If it's a negative, maybe make sure your test is updated and tested again.
And would it still be necessary to isolate the way we used to have to when we got COVID?
It really is best to isolate. So, you know, anytime you have a respiratory thing, whether it's RSV or flu or COVID or whatever, it's really best to stay away from other people and ensure that you're not giving them a virus that keeps on giving. It might actually make them very sick, especially if that person is immunocompromised in any way, or pregnant, or if you're going to be around a baby or a toddler. Put on a mask, stay away from the other people in your house, you try to keep some distance, don't share towels with them, don't eat at the kitchen table with them, maybe take your meal someplace else off to the side. And then if we know for sure that you have COVID, CDC recommendation is that you isolate yourself for at least 5 days and until you have had no fever for at least 24 hours and you're clearly improving. And then you can probably be out in public, but you should be wearing a mask until you get your day 10.
Do you and your colleagues believe that it's really inevitable that most folks are going to get COVID-19, some variant in the future? Are there going to be certain long-term effects? We've heard about long-term COVID. What do we need to know for the future about COVID?
Well, I think COVID is here to stay. I think, you know, most of the experts agree to that. I mean, by now, the majority of us have had COVID, but my mom just got it for the very first time last fall. And we're, 5 years into this now. So it's not completely inevitable. Please stay vaccinated. If you're careful about avoiding really crowded places, especially if your local data is showing that we're in a COVID surge, then, you know, you can probably avoid getting sick, and that's great. The thing that worries me the most about COVID is that we still don't understand the long-term implication of getting ill over and over again with this virus. If you remember back in the beginning, people lost their teeth to sense and smell, and that's because that virus was actually getting into the central nervous system. That's really scary to think about a virus that is in there kind of, you know, tinkering around with our brains and the function of our brains like that. And we don't know what 10 or 20 or 30 years down the road is going to look like. Now, these newer iterations, it seems like, don't impact the central nervous system as much. But then more recently, we've heard about people losing their sense of taste and smell again. So it's concerning that we have viruses that interact with the brain. And one of the things that I worry about the most is those kind of neurodevelopmental issues in children or cognitive issues in older adults. You know, are we going to see more dementia, more Alzheimer's, earlier onset Parkinson's? You know, this is all crystal ball stuff that we don't know the answers to yet, but we don't have a very good track record with viruses. If you think about viruses like measles that causes subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, that's a bad brain disease that happens 5-10 years or more after you've had measles. It's rare, but it's uniformly fatal in children for the most part. We think about hepatitis B virus and human papillomavirus that caused cancer 20, 30, 40 years down the road. Epstein-Barr virus has been linked to lymphoma. HIV, we know, causes AIDS and is associated with cancers. There's so many things that we still don't understand about why bad diseases happen to us and whether or not there is something about viruses and viral infections that contribute to that. But a lot of evidence suggests that these viruses cause problems that stay with us and that may result in issues decades down the road. And I, for one, am not willing to chance that with COVID. I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself and my family from anything like that happening. I don't want to look back in 20 or 30 years and say, gosh, I wish I'd gotten my kid COVID vaccines, or I wish I'd gotten myself a COVID vaccine, because now we know that this bad outcome can happen way down the road.
And as I understand it, there are still individuals who are dealing with symptoms related to long COVID. Is that true?
There are. And there have been good studies to show that getting COVID vaccine significantly decreases your risk of long COVID. So that's a really important thing. You know, we hear a lot of people try to blame the vaccines for things that they see. And the reality is that most people have had COVID disease. And it's really hard to pick apart what the disease is causing from a side effect of the vaccine. But the track record is that it's the viruses that are causing these issues and not the vaccine.
So much to know about this vaccine that's been around, as you said, for 5 years already. So we will stay tuned with experts like you. Dr. Fiskus, let's start talking about that flu vaccine. As you had mentioned, it's been around for a long time. But talk specifically about why flu shots are so important for older adults and when's the best time to get it.
Well, you absolutely can go get a flu vaccine, but you should make it a priority. We like to say flu before boo. So the best time to get a flu vaccine is before Halloween in October. That usually gets ahead of most of the season in the United States. So go get that done. But if it's December or January or February and you haven't been vaccinated and you are at a pharmacy and can get a vaccine, please get that vaccine. Any vaccine is better than no vaccine, but the earlier you can do it, the more it's going to benefit you. You know, we have had influenza vaccines for a really long time. We hear about the efficacy of those vaccines, you know, how well they work. And generally, 40 to 60% of cases are going to be prevented. I will take those odds. I would rather have a 40 to 60% chance of preventing influenza than a zero chance of preventing influenza. And it really impacts hospitalization and the need to go to emergency rooms and ICU visits. Last year was the deadliest influenza season we've seen for children in decades. We've lost over 200 children to influenza last year. We have millions, literally millions, of doctor's visits every year from influenza, tens of thousands of hospitalizations, tens of thousands of deaths. And people who are at the highest risk are always those who are elderly or have chronic conditions that make it harder for them to fight off diseases, or children who are very young, like under the age of 5, they're the highest risk groups. And then people who are pregnant. And we forget about the fact that pregnancy is an immunocompromising condition. So if you have someone in your family who's pregnant, also really important to remind them to get vaccinated and to get vaccinated yourself to protect them from getting influenza. It is the most common respiratory disease that we see hospitalized people this time of year. And if all of us got influenza vaccines, oh my gosh, the amount of suffering and illness and death we could prevent in the country is tremendous. I would like to challenge everyone who's listening to go get an influenza vaccine as soon as you can. They are very well tolerated. They are extremely safe, and they are the best thing that we have to prevent hospitalization and death from flu.
Can you get the flu shot and the COVID vaccine at the same time?
You can get them at the same time. And the other thing I need to mention to your listeners is that if you're 65 or older or have an immune compromising condition, you should specifically get what's called either the high dose influenza vaccine or an adjuvanted influenza vaccine. Adjuvanted just means that they put something in it to make your immune system kind of wake up a little bit more to the vaccine and create a better response. As we age, we don't mount the same kind of response to vaccines that we do when we're younger. And so these are influenza vaccines that are a little bit hyperdrived to help people whose immune systems might be a little lazy to mount a really good response against influenza. Or you could just say the one for seniors to make sure that you're getting the best possible bang for your buck when it comes to getting flu shot.
And in terms of timing, maybe somebody is going on a trip or they realize I better go out and get this flu shot. How long does it take for flu shots to be effective? And then I am hearing that it's still necessary to get one every year.
As far as how long it takes for vaccines to work, almost all vaccines take about 2 weeks to work. It is absolutely necessary to get one every year. And you know, the reason for this, just like we see with COVID, is viruses are very smart. and they're very good at making themselves look different or putting on disguises so that they can evade the immunity that the vaccines are trying to build. And so each year, the vaccine is updated, just like we see with COVID, to make sure that it's going to cause us to form immunity to the specific kind of virus that's circulating right now.
That's it for Sprouts. This week, you have been listening to the first half of an Aging Matters program about COVID-19 vaccines, annual flu shot, and other immunizations older adults need to avoid health complications and stay healthy as they age. The second half of the program will air next week on Sprouts. Special thanks to my guest, Dr. Michelle Fiskus, Chief Medical Officer of the Association of Immunization Managers. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's URSULA@pacifica.org. I'm Cheryl Beversdorf in Arlington, Virginia. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
It's the month of love, so let's celebrate the love of the blues and the legend Willie Mae Thornton, a.k.a. Big Mama Thornton. Tune in Friday, February 13th at 8 p.m. with me, Katie Zip, to rejoice in the power of Thornton's storied career, only on Double Groove, only on KBOO 90.7 FM.
Today on Wings, Diana Wanyonyi interviews